Welcome to the annual DEF CON convention. This meeting was held in exciting Las Vegas, Nevada from July 9th through the 11th, 1999. This is videotape number 14.
DT has arranged a Meet the Fed panel for the Black Hat briefings, which take place immediately preceding DEF CON. And this year we had such a good turnout of feds for both Black Hat and DEF CON, we decided to finagle them into sitting up on our panel interacting with all of us. I will tell you also, I know that at least one or two of them went through quite a struggle in getting this cleared at the highest levels of government to be here with us. So first I'd like to introduce you to each of them and give a little history. Probably the most interesting candidate we have here on the panel today is Agent Jim Christie. Raise your hands if you've heard of Jim. Jim was the lead agent in the Hanover hacker case. And if you haven't heard of the Hanover hacker case, then there are some books back there in the room that you can take a look at. On my right, we have Phil Loringer, who is with Headquarters, Office of the Secretary of Defense, right? Secretary of the Army, Information Systems, Command, Control, Communications, and Computers. And if you put one more word on there, I'm going to run out of breath before I say it. Basically, Phil is, I believe, the senior most civilian managing information security programs for the Army. And on the far end is Jeffrey Hunker. Jeffrey Hunker is with the National Security Council, and he is the senior most person handling information warfare, information security issues. So we have a pretty weighty panel up here, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. So without further ado, what I would like to do is go ahead and open the floor to questions after Jim starts off. He's got just a small presentation. I've told him he has 10 minutes or less, and then throw him off the microphone. So we'll let Jim start with that.
I'm just sitting down. Okay, I'm going to start it off. I'm Jim Christie. I'm a criminal investigator with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and I'm detailed to the Department of Defense. So I can't do anything without a slideshow, so this was major teeth pulling here. So basically it's us versus some of you, but I think you guys are outnumbered here. So you say you do it for the challenge, the intellectual challenge, and you don't do harm, and you just bring attention to a particular problem. I think that's bullshit. Okay? So, if you really wanted a challenge, you would have our jobs. You. So most of you. Okay, all you on this side, all us on this side. Your targets, if you're on that side, your targets are unlimited. And it's only limited by your imagination, where we have to protect everything from you. You don't have to play by the rules. We do. We're limited only by your imagination again. We're limited by constitution, statutes, treaties, ethics, morality. Absolutely.
Just 10 slides or less, okay?
You can attack whatever you want. We have to protect ourselves 24/7/365. Forget leap year, okay? You can stop attacking anytime. We still have to protect all the time. The government, the budgets haven't gone up, so we basically have to do with what we've got. So now we have a whole new mission area to protect these damn things, and we're having to cut other things, maybe social programs, to...
We're thinking about that.
Bottom line is that, you know, whether it's the government that you hit or whether it's a private company that you hit, it all gets passed on to everybody, and you're all going to pay one way or the other. And it, plus, you had a major head start on us because you're smarter than us. So our seniors didn't grow up with this technology. They don't understand it. So they're just learning about it. So you guys have been out there developing techniques, and technology is exploding and proliferating, and we're just recognizing it's a problem, and now it's huge. And so we're way, way behind you guys. You guys can align yourself with anybody, whether it's acting alone, joining a group, multiple groups, criminal organizations, terrorist organizations, and nation states, and we have to protect against all of that. Your motives are all different. We already talked about challenge, that's bullshit. You can just be malicious. You could be the same kid I grew up with that went around shooting the BB gun, shooting people's windows and light poles out. The only difference is that now you put national security at risk. So you're curious, you know, there's all kinds of different reasons that you give, but we still have to protect everything from all those different motives. You don't require major resources. Try protecting everything. I mean, we really have a major challenge to protect against everything. We won't go into this. You could be anybody from the ankle biter to that nation state, and the problem that we have is that we can't tell the difference until we trace it back to where the little son of a bitch's fingers meet the keyboard. So, you know, we have to run every case as if it was a nation state or a terrorist organization. It's not that we target ankle biters. They're probably the only ones we can catch. And we have geographical boundaries. If you think about law enforcement agencies, what we have jurisdiction for, it's always based on geography, a city, a county, a state, a country, where cyberspace has no boundaries. And, you know, transcending these boundaries and the rules that go along with those boundaries make things really difficult for us. And you could be singularly focused on breaking into a particular system. We have other competing priorities, you know, espionage, murder, terrorism, all these other things to protect you and, you know, most of all, protect your rights. So in the old days, the challenge was not to get caught. That wasn't much of a challenge, but government is starting to, the light bulb is starting to twinkle a little bit, and so it's going to be a little bit more dangerous for you, and you don't want to, you know, jeopardize your future employment, your security, and even your freedom. So join the good guys, you know? It's not like we don't need the help, okay? And oh, by the way, the last slide, you know, hey, we got a major problem coming up with Y2K. Don't kick a cripple.
It just stirs your patriotic feelings, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On that note, let's open the floor for questions. Can you please stand up and speak up really loudly?
Can you guys are technologically in the know for some of the state networks. Do you agree with the current litigation that's happening as far as making even attempts at hacking or breaking into anything illegal? And not breaking into anything illegal, in one case, attempts to do so? system. And actually, I want to relate that into, doesn't that make you feel like things may be left wide open to people that are actually looking for state secrets and Bush acts?
What exactly was the question?
Current litigation that is attempting to make the even the attempt to break into a system illegal and have litigation consequences. And
litigation meaning that somebody could sue you? No, that litigation is when you sue for civil purposes. You mean legal, like prison?
Prison. We're talking like 39, 50 years just for trying to attempt
to break. No, you can put down this mic.
I tried.
Plain English here for the crowd, all right?
Can everybody hear me? Good. I'm not familiar with the litigation you're referring to. I do think it's important that we protect privacy rights for all Americans. And that is an important part of what makes our nation what we are. It's an important part also of why there is a number of terrorist groups and there's a number of nations out there that are starting to look at cyber attack as a means of hurting us. And I'm for everything that's going to protect the rights of Americans to be secure with the information they put into trusted hands, whether that's going to be information they share with their employer or information that they share with the government. And if protecting those rights means making the job of people who are breaking illegally into systems harder, I think that's a good thing to be doing.
That was a very good question. Basically, in summary, he said, does the government consider personal responsibility when you place information on the internet for securing that information, correct? Or is the responsibility for the insecure placement of that information in the hands of the groups who are able to exploit the vulnerabilities that are there?
Yeah, like, it's pretty much an open thing. It's pretty much your fault and their fault. You know, if you have your meetings on the internet, is there anything you guys kind of do to make that a little bit more stable?
What I would say about that, the analogy I would make is you shouldn't punish somebody for not locking their house and you breaking into the, walking into their house and going through their file cabinet. That's still illegal entry. So, and violating their rights.
As far as like the openness on the internet, that's what makes it make it a little bit safer for people to not get all the information so loud.
Well, I think part of that is an education problem.
Yeah.
People think the internet's secure. You know, you got this is a whole different group. You guys understand what goes on. It's a party line, whereas most people don't understand that. They think they're on the telephone.
Guy in the red stood up first.
My question is, if all these hackers here inside the U.S. start hacking other countries in the U.S., is there a lot less risk of getting busted for that?
Ask the international panel of government experts that will be here next year.
I had a question. It's kind of the same question as mine when there are hackers who are allowed to hack other sites that are facility, like most of the sites in Yugoslavia. So that was sanctioned by the government to do that. So what's the cost of it? Is it allowed to do that?
Let me think.
let's look at this as two separate issues. The first issue, which was a very valid question, was what is the difference in endorsing activities against countries that we are actively involved in hostile actions with versus the government's response to our own citizens conducting such activities? Was that basically a question?
I'll take a crack at it. As for the reports about what did or did not take place in Yugoslavia, I can't comment on that. I don't know.
Can either of our other panelists comment on it? Mr. Lorenzen?
No comment.
I do defense.
Right. But there's a second part to this, which is there are other nations out there that are actively developing cyber attack capabilities aimed at the U.S. And you can find in the public record officials in China and Russia. I know nothing.
I think what he's saying is that they're building organized cyber war capabilities. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not aware of any of that.
Jim?
I sure hope we're doing that.
So,
we use cruise missiles, and we should use any technique and tool available to us. But, we used a lot of cruise missiles in Yugoslavia, but I didn't want you guys to have them and use them when you want them. And,
Eventually, you'll figure out how to build them anyway.
Let me get a comment in here.
Phil has a comment.
I don't know how well this is working. Okay, it is. For years, when your parents were growing up and I was still in high school, we were talking about an arms race. We were talking about the Cold War countermeasures and measures. I submit to you that today we are in an arms race. The arms race today is a cyber arms race. It is cheaper and sometimes, I guess you could imagine, more effective to keep a ship from leaving port because you have fouled up the navigation system than it is to let that sucker sail and blow it out of the water. It is just a new weapon. We're very concerned that those capabilities that are being developed out there by kitty scripters and other folks will eventually be picked up and realized what kind of value they could actually be. When that value is truly realized, we're not talking about replacing somebody's web page. We're talking about killing folks, and that we remain very concerned about. Yes, we are in an arms race, and it is on today.
In the back.
I was distracted for a second as I was handing the...
More money.
More money.
Answer.
Yes, more money. There is more money.
There's a lot of money.
There's more money. There's three major new threats that have emerged over the last 8 years for Americans. There's chemical and biological weapons, and you've heard about the concerns about anthrax. There's the concerns about using radioactive and radiological weapons. And thirdly, there's a concern about cyber attack. I deal with cyber attack. It's a real threat. There are real nasty people out there who are developing capabilities aimed at the U.S. And the federal government has dramatically increased the amount of funding.
By how much?
By about 40%.
How much is that?
That's a billion. It'll be a billion and a half this next year. We expect quite a considerable amount going forward. A lot of that's going to be in R&D. A lot of that is going to be in training and education. Frankly, for some of the people out here, for information security.
Mm-hmm. nod your head yes. I think Phil wants to address that.
Makes it harder for y'all to take it seriously when you have someone to be based on what they become.
Let me see if I can address that. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You've heard that. Reaction to an action is also very similar in this extent. You've had a couple lawyers talk to you guys today, talking to you. In essence, they may not have said it, but they're talking about the development of case law. Many of the things that are going on today for prosecution and so forth, no one's ever done it before. Okay, not sure what the countermeasure to the measure ought to be, as I mentioned. But if you think about some of our other countries on this planet, the way they counter hackers, I will bring you back to a story not too long ago from China. Two hackers busted into a national Chinese bank, ripped off $37,000. They were caught. You know what their punishment was? They were shot. Okay. Tanya. That's perhaps so, okay? Do we do that in the United States? And the answer is no. I don't know of any hacker who would go out.
So are you saying that we're still in a transition period trying to figure out what an accurate punishment is?
I think that it will be a number of years before we have case law that is as standard as burglary crimes are today.
I just have one comment. How many of out here have gone to jail for hacking? Not a whole lot of you, huh? So, yeah.
they're in the pimp suites.
Did you guys go to jail?
No, that's not a question.
Just check. Okay.
Okay, having worked on the global side of the problem and been, how do you say, on the good side, but not on your side personally, I'm taking the reason why I can't say I want to go to good guys. And that's because I have seen many friends who only try with curiosity go to jail for extended periods of time, literally in years. Now, nowadays, I don't do anything that can be considered illegal, assuming at least as far as I know, they're messing up a lot of things. But, just a few months ago, I had to track down a very annoying group of script readings who were being made childishly malicious. And in the process, I found they had basically gained access to a very large, very important government database, which is the same right here, because I don't want to bring attention to what we have to ask. And I had to contact the administrator there, and A, I had to tell him about it, but B, I had to convince him not to tell you about it. And the reason for this is because they possessed a bunch of kids who were curious, maybe a little malicious, and who had no intent of bringing down anything that had to do with the government.
Yes, I have two important comments to make about that. The first is that, as was pointed out before, with the growth of the internet, with the growth of electronic commerce the way it is, case law and societal norms about how we treat this is an evolution. And it's not the government that sets and determines that. It's going to be a combination of congressional, state action, and individual decisions by courts and by private plaintiffs in terms of that. And you have to be part of that process. We don't set all of that. We don't make it all up. It's a process that involves all of us, and it certainly is a process in evolution. I don't claim that the current case law and the current laws that we have for protecting electronic communications privacy and information security are perfect. They've changed. The technology is changing. We have to recognize that we're in evolution right now. So what I would ask is cut us a break in terms of saying you, the government, are doing this, and recognize the fact that we're in a rapid transition. The Congress is going to be involved in this. The state legislatures are going to be involved in this. And a lot of lawyers and court action are going to be involved. Second point is, in terms of sharing information with the government, one of the things we're working very carefully on right now is to make certain that the sort of case that you're involved in right there, where you are tracking somebody down and the like, that we have the mechanisms in place so that you can talk to us or talk to law enforcement as appropriate and not face the concerns about overreaction. It's a big issue. It's an issue we've never faced before. It raises a number of legal issues, both in terms of how corporations and lawyers look at it, as well as in terms of security and how law enforcement looks at it. But we are working on that very much.
I want to stop the money, but I don't want to send them to jail for a year.
That's it. In the back with the glasses.
You say that you want someone back to come on your side, yet again, we do what we do, we practice our training, and we prosecute for it. So how is it that you don't want the justice field to be doing all the investigations you want to come help you, and you prosecute for it for us, so we gain these fields? Second, what are you doing to educate investigators to do these kinds of things?
Well, there are several different categories of folks that didn't violate the law and had the same capability that you have. The problem is scope. Like I said in a couple of my slides, you can target individual systems. You can work when you want. Our folks have to protect everything, which is a huge problem. And we have good people out there who have a good set of morals. What we need for you guys to do is, before you get caught, before you cause damage and ruin potential job security in the future, is to come to our side, because you're going to get those same capabilities and you'll probably get better tools, and you'll find out what the challenge really is.
Okay. Money. Oh, my man.
Yeah, I understand your process and the procedures involved in doing all this stuff. That's all really good. But, okay, it can work as a thing. But what part of this is driven by someone wanting to get in front of that one yourself?
He basically said, what part of this process is driven by getting a federal indictment under their belt?
Yeah, without being the prosecution.
I'm not a prosecutor, I'm an investigator,
yeah.
So my job is...
See, if you paid your $8.95 in advance, you could have heard the Department of Justice guy a black hat.
and like I said earlier, when we start an investigation, we don't know who the bad guy is. We're not looking for script kiddies. We're looking for the folks who have can cause significant damage. So now that we run an investigation, it turns out to be a 21-year-old, should we just turn our back? I don't think so.
The issue is, the question is, are some of the prosecutions just based off of somebody trying to simply get an additional prosecution or indictment under their belt? I'm going to answer that from the perspective of the National Security Council at the White House and the focus that we're putting on cybersecurity right now. And I'll speak from that perspective and the funding and the focus that we're putting on that. We're concerned about threats to our economic and our national security that are not individual hackers, they're not disgruntled insiders, they're well-organized, well-funded, malicious groups that are trying to destroy our country. There are countries and there are terrorist groups.
Are you at liberty to say this?
I mentioned two of them earlier.
You said China and Russia.
Right. Have publicly talked about this. There are others.
Stand up. Loud. Screw crypto laws. Let's go with Jeffrey Hunker on that from the National Security Council.
Because we don't want strong encryption in the hands of terrorists.
The comment slash question made over here was, don't terrorists already have strong encryption?
Well,
okay. Will the government be ensuring our privacy if we can't do it for ourselves?
Could I have an easier question, please? There's
okay.
Strong encryption is available to all Americans. The public key encryption and the key escrow proposals that have been made have the sort of legal protections to protect Americans' privacy rights.
Go ahead.
Earlier you said that groups that are just exposing problems or being used to attend to the public last one is consistent. Do you oppose activity groups such as the WAF who aren't maliciously cracking, but they purchase a product on their own to expose deep legacy? Yes, and say the enterprise will cross.
No, I think that's a great thing. Absolutely. You know, but as soon as you violate the law by breaking somebody else's privacy, that's a whole different issue. To test products, to hone your skills on your own systems or with permission, that's great. And that's the kind of people that we want.
Treaties that America and a number of other countries signed the right to a free world intellectual property organization, and it suggests that you cannot reverse engineer something because that is essentially see if it's crap or not, because if you want to trust it, you can't test, because if you test, you may determine that it's faulty, and it's a circular catch-22 thing. And I have a question that actually says, if your goal is to actually have secure systems that you can trust, you know that these people are smarter than anything else that the world has. And if the goal is secure systems, which option do you want? Do you want the systems to be just tested by your own controls, or allowing bugs, misconfigurations? Do you want your own citizens to test them? If they're not going to screw them up, they're just going to test them and provide perhaps a future possibility and say, hey, you got a problem, fix it, without a reprisal. Or do you want foreign people? If you block your own people, and that's in Canada, if you block your own people from telling you you have problems, and you have extremely hard to enforce foreign actual problems, you're in a catch-22 situation. You're not going to get your secure system that you need to accept.
I'm not...
No.
Let me attempt to summarize this. It has to do
with... Why can't the law reverse engineer without getting in trouble? Is that what
you're
saying?
Right.
You're worse off than any other possibility.
I'm not an expert in this, and so I'm just going to speak from a personal capacity. I think that the language in the WIPO treaty was not written with the intent of making illegal the sort of reverse engineering that you're talking about, and we hope to clarify and rectify that issue.
Good. Good. Also, someone asked me to interject that with PKIE Commerce, that you mentioned the government having an interest in supporting that, that isn't it a fact that it would only require the injection of a subpoena to...
It's not sure that the court would be just required to appeal a subpoena in order to get these and not have a judge be able to put in a search warrant or to get a wiretap.
Well, if we need...
So, so it goes back to how much is the government really ensuring our privacy for us?
You know, the whole issue of PKI and key recovery is part of an ongoing dialogue, and if people feel that there needs to be a stronger legal protections, then let's have stronger legal protections. The Congress is considering it. The administration is considering it. It's going to be part of case law. Let's build them in.
But you're not listening to us about it. It was really interesting. Yeah, I mean,
You had a question?
You're saying that there is a dialogue between the government and the concerning privacy, and I would suggest to you that dialogue seems to be well read. The government keeps saying yes, and we keep saying no. I don't understand how that is dialogue.
Question in the back. You want to just comment on it?
That was a proper channel, so let's use this dialogue.
We have a vote. We have a Congress. We
vote on you.
They don't make policy, they just rebel on it.
Congress and Senate. That'll be effective. You had a question in the back. Please speak up loudly. Benefits to key escrow?
I'm not touching that. I wish the FBI were here.
Does someone have a non-PKI key escrow e-commerce question in the main shirt?
Okay. There's been a lot of talk about, well, before we got on to key escrow, there was talk about insurance and do we have the proper level of legislation as our reaction to the problem. Has anybody considered actually looking at the advisories? When the qualification advisories come out and they say that armed servants will be able to qualification, why do they only fix the one word? This is a big listing advisory. Why don't they look at every qualification server the Army has?
Let's have the Army guy answer that.
I'm not really sure I like you. In fact, if there's anybody from Global Hell here, I'd like to meet them. This is an issue where you have a number of backup servers, and quite frankly, we had an oops. One of the backup servers wasn't fully backed up properly, and that doggone temp file was still there, and someone exploited that. It is not a big sin, but it was because it was very public. Those kind of things, I'm afraid, will happen on any system that you have. System administrators, if you are one, you know you're overworked, there isn't enough hours in the day just to maintain continuity of operation in your systems. And if you look at all the advisories that are out there, whether they come out of Carnegie Mellon, whether they come out of the Assist, whether they come out of 101 other places, I question whether we will ever have the capability to implement all of them in a secure manner.
I don't think you realize how huge we are.
I mean, seriously,
the problem is education and training. You know, the system administrators that we have, their job and their priority is to keep the thing up and running, and it never has been security. Now security is becoming a priority, and they don't have the training and education to make this thing work.
Right.
So it's going to take time and it's going to take resources, and the problem that we have in the government is as soon as we train them, then the private sector buys them. I would like them. Hey, I'd like to get paid more too. Absolutely agree.
Yeah. Question?
The issue has to do with product liability for, I guess, mostly for software.
Say it.
Right.
You know you want to say it.
It's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up, and we're looking at it. I would like nothing more.
Wait, did you say you would like nothing more than...
I would like nothing more than to have some more market incentives out there to ensure that if products are going to be put out on the market, that they do what they're said to, that they're supposed to be doing. I mean, you do that with cars, I think that should be true for information systems as well.
Let me comment on this as well. I obviously can't talk from the White House because that's not where I work. But let me tell you what we are looking at from a Department of Defense perspective. In fact, the Department of the Army is driving this particular initiative. Everything that we buy generally under contract. So we develop the specification characteristics and the deliverables. We do that predominantly against COTS because that's what the mandate by Congress has been. They have reduced our development R&D resources and so forth that we have to go commercial. However, in those contracts, we are now stating very specifically that the applications that we buy have to have some sort of guarantee that there is no malicious code, virus-free, and they operate as intended. Now, the big hammer is, you don't deliver, we don't buy from you again.
He said the word. He said the M word.
We do buy from Microsoft, okay? But I will tell you that we have increased our cooperation in the area of security with the Microsoft folks out of Washington. They have come out with some rather interesting solutions to a problem that you all have brought out in the past DevCon. And we're still defending this country, aren't we?
Okay, question over there on the side. Loud, please. Very good comment. Very good question. the question is, if the concern is lowest price, what is the problem with open source?
That's a really good question. And we are looking at that very carefully.
That's the White House guy.
When you say that you guys are defending the United States, there are people in here that I'm sure are veterans that defend the United States, but are not choosing in their own businesses to be stupid and to continue buying raw products. So why is the Army continuing to buy raw products?
I think it's next to the CIA.
Get him struck down.
Measures and countermeasures.
Right. I was wondering whether or not you would agree with the assertion that corporations, groups, even individuals have a right to develop and test those same kinds of techniques, and leave the application of them as something for the Attorney General and lawyers to worry about. But would you agree that people should have the right to develop and test the same kinds of techniques as defense against other parties? Or
absolutely, as long as you don't test them on somebody else who doesn't know it and doesn't consent to it. Sure. That's a very good question.
I really have no comment on that. I mean, it gets into so many issues of legal liability, civil liability for organizations that want to hack back, take countermeasures, and the like. I know that it's something that people have been looking at, thinking about, and maybe doing, but it raises a whole bunch of issues.
Are you just talking about testing your own products in your own environment, or are you talking about going out and developing tools and techniques on somebody else, an innocent bystander?
Developing tools and techniques that could be used against other parties.
You're doing it in your own environment, though, right? I don't have a problem with that.
Question?
Yeah.
Loud.
I got two things, actually.
Loud. Louder.
Oh, I got two things, actually. One, you say you're the good guys, right? Does it bother you that without us, we wouldn't be here to document problems and how to fix them so that some, you know, real malicious group actually could come and attack them?
Comment? Phil will comment. Basically said, does it bother you that the people in this room, the people here at DEF CON, are the ones finding the vulnerabilities? Would you prefer it be us to find them before somebody else come along and find them and exploit you, like one of these terrorist groups that you've referred to, or
intelligence
services?
The gut answer at 2 o'clock in the morning, it bothers the hell out of me. The other answer, though, from an academic perspective, this is the kind of conferences where this kind of information can be exchanged. And if you don't think that it is being exchanged, it certainly is. These are the kind of conferences that you should kind of applaud yourselves, because you're the kind of folks that are actually making the industry more conscious of what the hell they're putting out there. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, if we're only listening to you once a year, we certainly want to have a better track record so that you can't say that next year.
Your second question?
How much are the jobs that you have? How much do the jobs pay?
How much do you make now?
How much do you make now?
You're up now. He makes 15 hour, everybody. He has the next round. Okay, you.
Yes.
Rob.
So when you're talking about cyber attacks, you're talking about your R&D. These are all very small elements of the overall picture of information warfare. Well, how much of the patients process between your departments and other departments to remember details in line with the overall information of what's going on, for example? This stuff comes in from the contacts of the government experience and the private sector experts experience and who these days did lost your confidence in you guys. Who's looking at the overall big picture and not just staring at who's buying that package?
Well, that's why Jeffrey's here. When was the last time you had someone at DEF CON from the White House?
Well, what's being done? How much I know the contract comes to government contracting. You guys have a lot of trouble with each
The point is that the government has a lot of trouble communicating amongst itself as well as with private industry, and so what are we doing about making certain that we actually have a full picture? The president 18 months ago signed a couple of executive orders specifically reorganizing the federal government so that we do, in fact, for the first time, have in the White House, my position was created as well as the position of another person in the National Security Council, specifically to coordinate all the work that's taking place across the federal agencies. We've also created a special unit that for the first time has brought together the FBI and the Secret Service and the intelligence community, and is frankly starting to work very closely with the private sector in terms of exchanging information about the sort of new threat that we're talking about.
So can we email you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want my address?
Yes.
It's jeffrey.a.hunker@nsc.eop.gov. jeffrey.a.hunker.
Question? Okay, we only have time for a couple more questions, so who's going to be aggressive?
This guy asked first, but you got to listen.
He made an observation in regards to the comment earlier. Instead of saying it's a house that you're leaving unsecured, consider it a business, and someone walks into your business after hours when it's unlocked. There's a certain level of responsibility in securing them.
And part of that is an observation. Part of that is education and awareness. Some people don't know that they need to lock their doors, and that's a lot of what the government's doing, is doing education and awareness. And then how do you pay for securing that particular system, your house? Everybody can't afford to put an alarm on their house.
Go ahead.
And some neighborhoods need them.
For those of you that didn't hear, he made comment regarding HIPAA, the Health Information Privacy Protection Act. protection medical records and so forth. There's now a requirement to have adequate protection in place by 2001. Are there similar legislative activities going on to protect areas outside of health information?
Not yet in terms of mandating it. We'd much prefer to be working on a voluntary basis. If that doesn't work, then maybe somebody will propose it, but that's certainly not something that's on the cards right now.
We have 1 minute.
You mentioned earlier tribal warfare. And the one thing that I can say about everybody on this side of the table, without asking anyone else in the room, is the one now I think we all fight every day is the war against stupidity. Intelligently and finally answered every time we have a good question, either no comment, or it's we're looking into that. And I think that's what becomes the one most frustrating with all the continuous. Everyone's got a great point. We all seem to know what's going on, and the quote-unquote government doesn't. But we want to hire up the words of the same idiots that have been able to figure it out for years. That's why we all quit tech support to build our own companies.
Thank you. That's really a good statement. I like it. It's a really good question.
Well, I think this has been an interesting Meet the Fed panel. We are down to no time. Is our next speaker here? Are you the next speaker? Do you think that this was a beneficial addition to the con this year? Then we'll do it again next year and we'll see who shows up. And also, Philip Loringer will be speaking tomorrow at 10 a.m. He's the Army guy.